Psalm 40 verses 1 to 5. I will read to you the whole psalm. Psalm 40. To the choir master, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Psalm 40 is one of my favorite psalms, and I quote the first three verses of the psalm often when I share my testimony. We find in the book of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews quotes Psalm 40 in Hebrews chapter 10, and he applies the passage directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a messianic psalm. Psalm 40 verses 6 to 8, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. And in Hebrews chapter 10 verses 5 to 9, we find the same passage being quoted. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 5 to 9. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. Now some see the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 7 of this psalm, in Psalm 40 verse 7. Psalm 40 verse 7, "Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." Some see the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 8 in Psalm 40. Psalm 40 verse 8, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." Also some see the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 6 in Psalm 40. Psalm 40 verse 6, "In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required." You have given me an open ear, meaning I have come to do your will in total obedience to you, in total surrender to you. However, we must remember that this psalm was first of all a psalm about David and about David's needs and how the Lord meets his needs. The historical setting of the psalm is unknown to us. The title in verse 1 simply says, "To the choir master, a psalm of David." Now David might have written the psalm during his difficult years of exile, when he was running away from Saul. Or perhaps he could have written the psalm during his early years of being king of Israel. But it is unusual for a psalm to have a prayer of mercy following statements of praise and dedication. But we find that here in Psalm 40. Psalm 40 verse 12. "For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me." Psalm 40 verse 13. "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." But if verses 1 to 5 pictures David's deliverance during the dangerous exile years, and if verses 6 to 10 describe his dedication as a new king, then verses 11 to 17 could be a record of his personal forgiveness and victory over his enemies following being crowned as king of Israel. Verse 16 in the psalm does seem to be a royal prayer for God's blessing on the nation. Psalm 40 verse 16. It looks like it's a royal prayer for God's blessing on the nation. Psalm 40 verse 16. "But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord." Now, although we really do not know what experiences led David to writing the psalm, we know that David learned some valuable lessons through these experiences. And David gives us three important instructions to follow in the difficult times of life. Number one, praise God for all he has done. Verses 1 to 5. That's the first instruction. Praise God for all he has done. Verses 1 to 5. The second instruction is, give God all that he asks. Verses 6 to 10. And finally, the third instruction, trust God for all that remains. Verses 11 to 17. Now for our study this evening, we will look into the first five verses, which tell us to praise God for all that he has done. Verses 1 to 5. Psalm 40 verses 1 to 5. "To the choir master, Psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told." No matter what our trial or trouble may be in life during this present time, it is always good to look back and remember the goodness of the Lord. That's what David is reminding us to do. He's reminding us to look back and remember the goodness of the Lord. David remembered how long he waited patiently before the Lord, How long he waited patiently before the Lord delivered him from his enemies and from the hand of Saul. But the day came when God inclined his ear and heard his cries. Just imagine playing the harp to soothe the mind of a king who was often oppressed by a demon and then would throw the spear at David to kill him. King Saul was no ordinary soldier. He was a trained warrior who had won many battles for Israel. He was a demon-oppressed, trained warrior and king. Yet, David plays the harp for him. David was doing God's will at the very risk of his life. Obviously, he played the harp with his eyes wide open. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 9 to 10. I read to you from the New Living Translation. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 9 to 10. But one day when Saul was sitting at home with spear in hand, the tormenting spirit from the Lord suddenly came upon him again. As David played his harp, Saul hurled his spear at David, but David dodged out of the way, and leaving the spear stuck in the wall, he fled and escaped into the night. But the day came when God inclined his ear and heard the cry of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Psalm 40 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 116 verse 2. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. Psalm 130 verse 2. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. Remember Daniel. Daniel prayed during captivity in Babylon, asking God to incline his ear to him and forgive the sins of his people Israel and to have mercy on the city of Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. Daniel chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. God heard the cry of Daniel. God heard Daniel's cry and answered Daniel. David experienced God inclining his ear to him, hearing his cry, and lifting him up from the pit. David learned an important lesson during those exile years. He learned that ultimate success depends on faith in the Lord and being patient during the time when God is silently working. The children sang that song. Even though we don't see him working, we trust him. So the ultimate success depends on faith in the Lord and being patient during the time when God is silently working. It was not that God had not heard David's cry earlier. Of course, God hears the cry of his children at all times. The God of Israel never slumbers or sleeps. Psalm 121 verse 4. Psalm 121 verse 4. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. But God has his time in which to act on behalf of his children, and therefore we must be patient while he works. We are so used to getting things fixed so fast, isn't it? Quick fixes are the norm in this modern world. And so we expect God also to hear and answer us immediately. We have lost the mindset of watching and waiting. God doesn't function the way we do. God doesn't function the way we do. Thank God he doesn't. He has his perfect time in all things. So we must learn to trust in his providential working and learn to wait on him. Psalm 5 verse 3. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Psalm 33 verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 37 verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. Psalm 38 verse 15. But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord my God, who will answer. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. The pit that David speaks about, the slum and the mire, all of that are pictures of those difficult days that David endured. The pit is also a term for Sheol, which is the realm of the dead. David's life was certainly in danger. All the time he was in danger. But God delivers him. God delivers him. Psalm 40 verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Commenting on verse 1 to 3 of Psalm 40, a preacher said in his style of language, God brought him up, God stood him up, and God tuned him up. God brought him up, God stood him up, and God tuned him up. David had a new beginning with a new song of praise in his mouth. Psalm 18 verse 49. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Psalm 22 verses 22 and 23. Psalm 22 verses 22 and 23. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. Psalm 33 verse 3. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. God helped David because David trusted the Lord. David remained true to the God of Israel. He showed no respect to the arrogant who opposed God. Psalm 40 verse 4. I read to you from the King James Version. Psalm 40 verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. The word lies in verse 4 refers actually to idols. Unlike David, King Saul was an arrogant man. He trusted in himself. He was so self-centered and he exalted himself. In looking back on those years as an exile and a hunted man, David saw the greatness of God's works, God's wonders, and the wisdom of God's plans. Psalm 40 verse 5. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them. Yet they are more than can be told. I believe verse 5 of Psalm 40 was David's version of Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So, when we wait for the Lord, we are not being idle. Waiting for the Lord is certainly worthwhile because of what he is going to do for us. Waiting is not idleness, nor is it carelessness. It is certainly not complacency. Waiting on the Lord is that divine activity of expecting God to work. And God never disappoints us. Psalm 27 verses 13 and 14. Psalm 27 verse 13 and 14. I believe that I should look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. James gives us excellent advice regarding waiting for the coming of the Lord. Ultimately, our final reward for the work that we do as believers on earth, that final reward is in eternity. So we must not try and twist God's arm to work our way and we want to see immediate results. No, we must wait, trust Him. Final reward is in eternity. We must surrender to Him and wait on Him and do His revealed will. Surrender to Him, wait on Him, do His revealed will. James chapter 5 verses 7 to 11. Be patient therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So, we must be patient. Our reward is in heaven. Our final reward is in heaven. So, we will await that reward and not expect God to act the moment we ask Him to do so. Figuratively, David was in a horrible pit. He was sinking in the mire, but he waited on the Lord. And God not only pulled David out of that pit, He also put David on the rock and established his footing. Psalm 40 verse 2. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Psalm 27 verse 5. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Which means that He will put us in a safe, steady path. Our path will be steady. Our feet will be steady. Psalm 61 verse 2. From the end of the earth I call to You. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 40 verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. In other words, God was saying, David, I'm going to take you out of the mire and I'll put you in the choir. I'm going to take you out of the mire and put you in the choir. As you are waiting on the Lord, ask yourself, are you really waiting on the Lord? Remember, you need to wait patiently. Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you praying about something and asking, oh God, when are you going to do this? When are you going to work? Remember that one of these days, your praying will turn into singing. Your sinking will turn into standing. Your fears will turn into true security as He puts you on the rock. So just wait on the Lord. He is patient with you. Why not be patient with Him and let Him work in His time? You know, while we wait on the Lord, sometimes you think you've reached your limit. Waiting on the Lord's help sometimes forces you to your limits. But take comfort. Take comfort in knowing that while you wait on Him, God is working out His purpose in your life. If you are in a difficult situation, waiting for God to do something, then leave your burden with the Lord and just trust Him to act. He never disappoints you when you wait on Him. So what are the blessings that come to us when we make the Lord our trust and we wait on Him? Number one, we begin to see life through His perspective. We start seeing life through God's perspective. Psalm 40 verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You see, when we walk by faith, God gives us discernment. He gives us the wisdom to make the right decisions. Our decisions are not dependent on man's opinions. God gives us wisdom. James chapter 1 verses 5 to 6. James 1 verses 5 to 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. We begin to see the world more clearly. God gives us wisdom and direction. So when we wait on the Lord, we start seeing life through God's perspective. But that's not all. Number two, we begin to appreciate God's ways and God's works. Psalm 40 verse 5, you have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. So we get to know God's ways, we get to know God's work, and we delight ourselves to do God's will. We do God's will from the heart. We don't do God's will as a chore. We do God's will from the heart. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So doing God's will becomes a great joy, irrespective of the circumstances we may be in. We know that God is always at work for us. Romans 8, 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. We know that God's plans and God's purposes can never be frustrated. He will fulfill His will. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one can stand in the way of God. No one can stand in the way of God. We press on in the will of God in spite of difficult circumstances. We enjoy His presence and we do His will. Verse 5 in Psalm 40 tells us, your thoughts toward us, none can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them. Yet they are more than can be told. Psalm 40 verse 5. Not only do we start seeing God's works, we also start enjoying His word. And we contemplate His thoughts. We think His thoughts. Our minds are saturated with the word of God. And we think His thoughts. When we trust the Lord, when we trust His word becomes so precious to us. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith becomes real. It becomes tangible. We desire to listen more and more to God's voice, and we obey Him by faith, and we do His will. So don't trust yourself or your circumstances. Trust the Lord. When you cast all your burdens on Him, when you're waiting on Him, you get a new perspective. You get a new perspective. You see life through His eyes. You appreciate His works and you enjoy His word and you do His will. Shall we bow heads in prayer?